You work hard for your money. You should be rewarded for that. That's why so many people are switching to Consumers Credit Union. Member-owned, Consumers offers tremendous advantages, like earning up to 5.09% APY for doing things you're likely already doing. Plus, you can use any ATM anywhere, and Consumers refunds the fees. It's no wonder Consumers Free Rewards Checking is recognized as one of the best high-yield checking accounts nationwide. Account qualifications apply. Signing up is a breeze at myconsumers.org. Consumers Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
Today's reality has forced us all to grapple with what's important and what isn't. And what will always be important is family and health. Unfortunately, snoring, sleep apnea, and nasal breathing problems have a direct impact on those two things we hold close. Living with any one of these issues compromises your quality of life, and that affects your whole household. It's not always easy to take action to change that, but Advent is going to help with a free virtual consultation. There's no cost and no commitment, and you don't have to worry about insurance or missing work to find out if Advent can solve your problem. During your virtual consultation, you'll chat one-on-one with a sinus and sleep specialist to find out exactly what you need to know. Text the word ADVENT to 797979 to schedule your free, zero-strings-attached virtual consultation. I'm Dr. Madhan Kandula. We won't be able to do this forever, but we're doing it now, because ADVENT knows when you breathe well, you live better.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
Herbie, back off vacation. It's year 23. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Someone texted in and said, I don't think that Reggie Miller got enough respect for how great a player he was, and I don't think he got enough scorn for how much of a villain he was. I agree. I'm telling you that when they get there, because they're clearly moving in that direction. Like, they left us with the cliffhanger of the Bulls are getting ready to start, and they're going to play the New Jersey Nets. So that's Kendall Gill's New Jersey Nets team. And then they're going to deal with B.J. Armstrong and Charlotte. And B.J. was talking mad junk in that series. And then you're going to get to Reggie Miller. And I think it was the best series that the Bulls, the most competitive series that the Bulls played.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
And it looks like we're going to get that in episode 9. I feel like that series deserves its own episode. Like, just, it was a war, and I'm glad that people are going to get an opportunity to see it. I don't know how you get all of it done between episodes 9 and 10. Honestly, you need to talk about the 97 finals, too, with the Jazz. Like, that became quite the rivalry between the Bulls and the Jazz over those two seasons. Welcome in. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock today. Man, do we have a lot of stuff to talk about on today's show. Here's what I have planned for you as far as guests go. My buddy Dave Ross from Stadium Network is going to join me at 12:20. And the reason is that we're going to talk about the fact that there was a major sporting event this past weekend, and the pros and cons of the UFC coming back the way that it did. So we're going to discuss that. Matt Spiegel is going to be on the show at 1 o'clock. I'm looking forward to talking with Spiegs. I want to get his thoughts on MLB's plan to reopen, and I think there's a labor dispute that's on the way with the reopening, so I want to talk with him about that. We'll also talk about the results of the COVID testing that the 10,000 people inside Major League Baseball did. Didn't really turn out as well as people thought it might turn out. Bill Melton is going to join me at 1:30. I don't want to tell you why he's going to join me, because I want your reaction to what he's going to tell you to be genuine. But I can tell you that it has to do with The Last Dance. So he will join me at 1:30. Herbie's here. Herbie, who else is working with you today?
Sean Anderson.
Sean? Oh, young Sean in the building. All right, I like that duo right there. We've got a lot to do. Let me talk about The Last Dance in episodes 7 and 8 last night. the things that I came away with, and you can text us, by the way, the text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai. Go get a car there. Go get yourself a Hyundai there. RosenHyundai.com. Their bays are open, too. So if you have a Hyundai and you're like, oh, I need to go get the oil change, you can go there. They will do it safely for you. Here's what I came away with. I thought that there were a lot of raw moments that ended up happening in last night's episode. And I thought that it was cool to J.A. Adonde had pointed this out, and J.A. had actually been on the show last week, and we were talking a little bit about it. Everyone's seen the video of Michael Jordan down on the ground with the trophy in 96 on Father's Day after his father passes away, like his first championship after his father passes away, right? We've all seen that. We had never heard it before. We had never heard this kind of guttural sobbing that was going on with Michael Jordan while he was having the realization about everything, like everything coming full circle. So I thought that it was great to actually have that footage. And they, if you notice, like they the camera and the boom mic really got in there on Jordan. So you have that. I thought that that was great. The other stuff that came out of it was how much of a maniac Michael Jordan really was. And I feel like that's about as nice as I can say it, because you see some of his tendencies and you go, oh, that would be problematic if he were to give that energy to any other thing other than something that was legal. It is as much as I have heard the stories from people, I've witnessed some stuff in the 1 year that I got to cover the team, or I guess year and a half that I got to cover the team, but to see it on display as violently sometimes as it is on display has been remarkable. And I get that in some of this, we're looking at it through the prism of what life is like in 2020. But still, like, I kept finding myself going, like, and I don't know if you had the same reaction. Scott Burrell is a much better man than I am. A much better man. Because I don't know how long... You ain't going to be calling me ho too often. Like, that's, like, it's all fun and games. I found myself definitely sympathizing and understanding Steve Kerr, because I knew that he got punched in the face. I didn't know that he had punched Michael. And I kind of feel the same way, where I know I'm about to lose this fight, but we going to fight. Because I ain't going to beat too many of your bitches and hoes. No more. And so I give Scott Burrell a lot of credit. Because his life has worked out. Was he coaching at Southern Connecticut University or something right now? But I can't imagine taking that barrage of verbal abuse. And what in the world is even your comeback? Like, if you're that player, like, at this point, Kerr is a veteran player. Like, he's been around, even though he wasn't on, you know, he wasn't on a dynasty team yet. He had been around. So you're looking at it from a different perspective, but my goodness, I don't know if I would have been able to handle that. And I mean, whether it was I'm someone that ends up getting kicked off the team or whatever, it takes a real set of will for someone to not react the way that Steve Kerr reacted. So, mad props to Scott Burrell.
I tried to get him to fight me a couple of times, in a good sense, you know, just to get him, man, I'm tired of you picking on me. I'm, you know, that type of mentality. Yeah, I could never get, he's such a nice guy. But I know we were going to need him at some point in time. And he's going to remember this. And he's going to get out there and he's going to fight.
That's from The Last Dance, courtesy of ESPN and Netflix. What I came away with was that Jordan likes Scott Burrell, but I'm not sure he respects him. Even now, I'm not sure that he respects him. Meanwhile, he clearly respects Kerr. And Kerr's gone on to do incredible stuff. And I mean, if you... if you really got into like the life of Steve Kerr, you would understand that even though it might, when you're the son of a diplomat, that it might look great and you've lived all around the world, but his father's demise and what it did to him. I appreciate that Steve Kerr is a low-key member of the Stay Ready All-Stars. Like, you're not going to be just be hitting me in my face and stuff with elbows. We going to fight. And I'm going to lose, but we are definitely going to fight. One of the things that I walk away from with this thing, because we idolize the way that Michael Jordan won and the way that he went about doing things, and we're getting a clearer picture of what his leadership looked like. I think that it's important over the next couple of weeks and the end of this thing, and I keep wondering, is the end really going to be the end? Herbie, do you believe that once we get done with episode 10 that that's going to be it? Because I don't.
I can't believe it is. It's just so good, and it doesn't, like you said, there's so much left to be covered, and two episodes won't do it.
I guess they did like 250 hours of interviews, and they've given us 10 hours of programming, and they've had to scramble to do it. Like, that crew of people that got this, because this thing wasn't supposed to run till June. This crew of people that got this out here, I tip my cap to their ability to scramble and put it all together. But there's got to be some sort of overtime. There's got to be some sort of director's cut version of this with all those interviews. Even if you were just to let me hear the interviews or watch the interviews, I would love to just, I don't know how much time they spent with Gary Payton. My guess, knowing GP a little bit, is they probably spent 4 or 5 hours with him. I would watch them just talking to Gary Payton, because the glove is amazing. And I would have liked for them to show Gary Payton video of them showing Michael Jordan what Gary Payton said, because I'm sure he would have had a reaction. Anyway, the point I was trying to make before I sidetracked myself was, I think that it's important for all of us to, while we should look at what Michael Jordan did and even how he did it with some amazement, it's incumbent upon us to figure out the things that we can and we can't or shouldn't add to our own thing. Whatever it is that we do, wherever we think that we can take inspiration from Michael Jordan and apply it to our everyday lives or our work lives or whatever, we need to be careful about what things that we take from him and adopt. Because you can't pull that stuff off unless you're the greatest. You don't get to punch teammates in the face unless you're one of the best that's ever done it. And you actually have some winning that goes behind it. I saw a lot of people making comparisons to Jimmy Butler. And to those people making comparisons to Jimmy Butler, I tell you, stop. Because Jimmy ain't won nothing. So he can do his tough love, I'm the only one who gets it type stuff. What ends up happening to Jimmy all the time? Jimmy gets traded. Because don't nobody want to hear that from someone who hasn't won anything. No one wants to hear that from someone that continues to be moved around, that has all of the... Like, Jimmy to me is an example of someone who took all the wrong things from Jordan and applied them. Because he's not in a position to apply the things that he thinks is going to make him a winner. And there's a lot of questions. But I saw that last night, like, oh, this is just like Jimmy Butler, what he did with Minnesota. I'm like, yeah. And then what happened? They made a choice, and they chose the best player. They chose the better player. So it's hard to do the stuff that Michael Jordan does if you don't have the ability to back it all up. Like, it's hard to talk trash when you can't be the person that makes the final shot or comes up with the best play or defends someone off the dribble. That's one of the things I walk away from with this. If you end up being a person that decides, well, I'm going to use the Jordan playbook to help me do whatever it is I need to do at work, just understand that there are consequences. And when you're the best player in the world, those consequences are minimal. Jordan never really had to worry about the worst thing that was going to happen to Michael Jordan is that he was going to get kicked out of practice. Can I just say that I already had a pretty great respect for Phil Jackson as a coach. And if you were listening to the show last week, you heard me talking with Joe Madden about like leadership and how I think their leadership styles are very similar. Phil's whole vibe, like this entire time, that's one of the places that I'm trying to get to. Like, how do I get to that vibe? His approach and like even the way that they dealt with Scotty afterwards, like the team approach, and we'll hear from Bill Cartwright a little bit later on in the show. His vibe has been the thing where I was like, huh. So to recap, I've gained a lot of respect for Scott Burrell and Steve Kerr. I think that Jordan comes off as maniacal, and I think that we knew that, but maybe not to this degree. And I'm trying to get a vibe like Phil Jackson. Through 8 episodes of The Last Dance, that's where I'm at. Oh, yeah, and a couple other things. I will say that one of my beefs with Jason Ayer and the folks who directed this is that while this is supposed to be about the Bulls, that it does seem to lean towards it being about Michael Jordan, and I'm okay with that. I think all of us are okay with that. What I'm not okay with is really important moments in Bulls history during Jordan's run not being examined thoroughly. Example number one for me is the 91-92 team winning the title, the team going to the White House, Michael Jordan not going to the White House. If you read Craig Hodges' book, and I highly recommend that you do, called Long Shot, in the book, Hodges says that the reason that Jordan didn't go is because he didn't vote for George Herbert Walker Bush. And he said it, Jordan, according to Hodges, said it a lot more colorfully than that. The fact that Craig Hodges wasn't interviewed for this and him in the dashiki at the White House hasn't been shown as part of that story, I don't like that. I also didn't like in last night's episode where you can't tell the story of the 93-94 Bulls and Scottie Pippen without talking about Hugh Hollins in Game 5. Now, they did a good job of breaking down the 1.8 seconds, and if I'm Scottie Pippen, I walk away from last night's episodes like, what are y'all doing to me? Because we relive Scottie's worst moments in this documentary between the migraines and the 1.8 seconds. Like, they really went in depth on the 1.8 seconds. But you can't talk to me about that Knicks series and not talk about Hugh Hollins. It was the most important thing that happened in that series. All right. We'll get back to this a little bit later on. There was a major sporting event that happened this weekend. UFC 249 went down. I'm going to talk with my buddy Dave Ross about what that means for the rest of sports or if this was just a one-off. We'll do that next here on The Score.
NFL football fans, let The Score hook you up while you're keeping safe at home as we air NFL classics featuring some of the biggest games in NFL history starting tonight at 7.
Join us for Super Bowl 51, New England versus Atlanta, featuring one of the greatest comebacks in Super Bowl history.
Brady gets his one, pitches out wide, gets a block, he dives, it is a touchdown! New England wins in the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Starting tonight at 7 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago Sports Station, a production of Westwood One Sports.
This is Andrew Bogish with a Radio.com Sports Minute. I'm one of those people who may kind of sometimes believe that Michael Jordan didn't just simply retire and play minor league baseball, that maybe the NBA had punished him for his gambling issues. And I still think that 8 episodes into The Last Dance. Now, 2 Sundays ago, the documentary brushed off the gambling talk without any real pushback to Jordan's words. Last night, they did do a better job dispelling my conspiracy theory, but it'll never fully add up that MJ just bolted for